Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Okay, we're going to continue our series now on foundations. So be ready. And we're going to be looking at today, world mission. That's what today is all about, world mission. And we're going to come out of Acts 1:1. That's all it is. And so Luke, who wrote the book of Luke, opens up the book because he wrote the book of Acts. And he said this, in the first book, referring to the book of Luke, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began and to do and to teach. And so what he's telling us there is that what Luke saw, he wrote about in the book of Luke. But then once Jesus rose and ascended on high, he still continued to see Jesus work in and through the church by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus was on a mission through by his Holy Spirit that started in the book of Acts and expands to today until the day he returns. And so Jesus is still on that mission today. But when we talk about mission, it's like actually mission means very different things to different people. You know, for some people, it's a real mission to even get out of bed in the morning, you know, to open the lids up, to get out of the quilt, get your head off that pillow. I notice some of you were probably struggling with that, getting on late this morning. And I'm looking at one person that I won't expose that finds that very difficult every day. And she knows who that is. So, but it's a mission. And right now, what I call a mission is getting the presence for everybody. It's a real mission, isn't it? It's like, oh man, you want to get the right things for the right people and that. And decorations, you've got to get decorations up. These things can be a real mission in life. But as we go into that, I believe that God is asking us, with all these different missions that we could go on, is that actually, why do you do what you do? And what mission are you on today? Is it yours? Is it God's? What mission are you on right now? And we're going to look at three different things. Mission yesterday, mission today, and mission tomorrow. So ask yourself right at the start, it's like, why do I go to work? Question everything. Why do I work so hard? What is the purpose of my life? What should I be doing? Why do I even turn up for church like this? Well, the answer is we need to lay firm foundations. And so we're going to look at yesterday's foundations. We need to go back to what man was created for. And we see it in Abraham, Genesis 17:5. God said this, that I have made you the father of a multitude of nations, and your offspring will be like the stars in the sky. So just imagine that Abraham is looking up to the stars in the sky and he's seeing millions and billions of stars up there, and actually you're one of them and I'm one of them that Abraham saw, and he said you're going to be the father of them, not just them but nations. And so God started to call out, trying to go back there. God started to call out of all people, his own treasured possession. It wasn't just Israel. Israel was supposed to just show the rest of the world what God was like through his dealings with them. And so each one of us today who's sitting here listening to this, if you're in Christ, your whole history is revolved and goes back into Abraham, and you're here because somebody else went on mission. Somebody else gave their life to bring you life, bring you eternal life. And I know with me, I was far, far from God, far as you can get. And I read a book called The Power of Positive Thinking. And that helped me to read the Bible. That led me to come to Christ because I came to Christ because someone else was on mission. On their mission was to write a book to help others to connect with the Bible and to connect with Christ. And so we all are thankful for those. I wonder who it was that you're thankful for, that you actually came to Christ, that you got saved yourself. It was because somebody else was on mission. And that story continues. And we see it in the history of Israel that started to unfold, how they were, how God treated them and all the rest of it. But it always pointed to a Messiah coming, someone that would save the world, the Son of God coming into the world to save it from its sin. And finally, we see that. We see that when Jesus was born, lived, died, rose again. And then in Acts 2, a massive change happened to the whole of humanity, where God poured his Spirit out. So not just man anymore, but man with God inside, the Spirit of God living in people. And that's who we are today, absolutely transformed with the presence of God, the power of God, and the wisdom of God with each one of us. It's a whole new humanity filled with his Spirit. And now he's filled us with his Spirit. It's for a purpose. It's for a reason. It's for mission. He said in Matthew 28, he said, go make disciples of all nations. And 24:14, he said that this gospel that is preached will make disciples of all nations. The gospel will be preached through the whole world, and then the end will come. So church, we're not here for no reason. We are the family of God, called by God, commissioned by God to let this world know about Jesus. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we're to carry Christ with us. Be mindful that he is with us. And like the book of Acts, when he was here, he did stuff. The book of Luke, when he was here, he did stuff. Now the book of Acts, he's still doing it through us. Doing what, you might say? What is it I'm supposed to do? What he gave us is the commission in Luke 4:18 to proclaim the good news to the poor. The poor are very dear to God. To give liberty to the captives, to give sight to the blind, to set those free that are oppressed and proclaim it's the year of the Lord's favour. He doesn't want to condemn anybody. He's patient with us. He wants everybody to get forgiveness and eternal life with him. And so what we see in the book of Acts, it's vibrant, it's happening, it's life-giving, it's flowing. Does this describe your life today? Are you doing this stuff that Jesus was doing? And you know, when Swaley got up earlier, you know, I was in the bank with Debbie and we're sorting out bank online, which is a complete nightmare, and I just felt like, you know what, I need a break from this. So I said, I'm going out for a couple of minutes, and that's when I met Swaley. It was a God instant. He doesn't usually go that way. I should have been in with one of the bank managers. Anyway, I'm outside, and I could have done anything at that time, but you know, I saw a brother who's in pain. And right in the middle of everybody, when everybody's walking up and down the streets, it's like, I don't care about them. I care about my brother who's in pain. And you just pray and God comes. It wasn't no fancy pants prayer. It was very simple. Pain go, be healed in Jesus' name. I know that I can't heal him, but I do know that God will. And God did. And look at that. But I'm saying this not to big my head up a little bit. It's just to say that, guys, we should all be doing this. Each one of us should be doing it. Each one of us needs to be stepping out and just realize that this power of God and presence of God is there for you, for your family, for your friends, for those you don't know. Just pray for them and see what God does, because he loves to show up. This is our mission today. And as we look at the book of Acts, the whole story there, it's a story of explosive growth as the Holy Spirit filled his people. It was amazing growth. You know, first of all, there was just 12 there, the disciples. And then by Acts 2, we see there's 120 sitting around in the upper room. It had really grown. And then the Holy Spirit came in power and 3,000 people were added to that day. And then by Acts 4, we see that there were 5,000 men. That means there was about 15,000 people in all by Acts 4. That's explosive growth, guys. And then we see after that, after the stoning of Stephen, because there was a lot of persecution then, everyone was scattered. Believers were scattered everywhere. But they were preaching the word as they went. They were proclaiming it. Jesus, planting churches as they went. Do you know what? Church, nothing has changed. Jesus didn't say, oh, that was for the book of Acts. And this is today. No, the book of Acts shows us what we should be doing today. And so, but the thing was, it wasn't spread. Christianity didn't spread through the likes of me or Lloyd or those standing at the front doing their stuff. It wasn't. It was spread through everyday people, sharing their faith, sharing the gospel, just as they went in day-to-day life. And that is true Christianity. The power's there. The gospel is, it's the power of God for salvation. Whoever says the gospel, the power will come. Healings will come. People will get saved. God has got no favourites. He doesn't look at me and Colin and others and Sam that step out in that way and go, oh, it's all right for them. No, it's for you. It's for you. And we're supposed to have fun. And so we see as foundations for today, let's look at that one, that Jesus is still on the mission. It's him who, I didn't heal Swaley's knee. It's Jesus that's doing it. And you know what? The gospel will travel around the world and the end will come. It's sooner than you think. And you need to make your life count. That's what God has been saying to me. Look, make it count. You haven't got that long. And time is running real fast. Many of us know that. So what about us today? I want to look at that. So today we are part of a movement called New Frontiers. That's a family of churches that it all began in the late 1950s. And just very quickly, why? Because man gets hold of the Bible. And what the church does, it gradually veers away from the truth of the Bible and becomes something that is just not what the Bible is. That's why we have people like Martin Luther that says, I'm not doing this. I want to do what the Bible says. And that's exactly why New Frontiers began. We want to do Christianity as the Bible says. And so Terry, what was he doing? So at that time, he was part of a Baptist church and he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Something that was very, very rare then. He started to pray in tongues. And they said to him, Terry, whatever that was, if you do it again, you're going to have to leave this church. We're not having that here. Many of you won't even remember them kind of times, but it was like that. And eventually, Bible, Terry thought, no, I'm off. I've got to do what the Bible says. And so he left, and there was about a dozen more people ended up going with him, and that grew and grew, became a church. And then basically down in Brighton, I think it was, down that way. And then gradually churches were contacting him and say, Terry, what is this that you've got, this life that we're seeing? Can you bring it to us? Can you come and teach us? So he did. And more churches down the south of England joined him, and it was a wonderful time. But then churches on up in the north of England said, Terry, will you come and oversee us as well? And he said, no, we're just going up to London. We're not going past that. But as more and more churches said, no, we want this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Will you come to us? Terry said, okay, we'll come to you. And that was about, I don't know, 20 years ago, And there were a couple of prophetic words that carried us at that time, that we can do more together than we can apart. And that's what we found. And there are no well-worn paths. There's no well-worn paths. When you're following the Spirit of God, you do what he says. Just like the chance encounter with me and Swaley, we're somehow following the Spirit of God to have that meeting. And so that's what we'll be doing as church, following what the Holy Spirit says. And so about 10 years ago, there was about 200 churches in England, and we used to have prayer and fasting then. And I'm saying all this, I want to build history into you guys, because some of you don't know this. And so we used to have 3 days of prayer and fasting. It was fantastic. And there was a guy called Krianzak who came in on one of them, and he had a prophetic word. And the word was, I see a bow and arrow, and the arrows are flying from the bow going into every country. And that began our world mission, where we started to plant churches in all the main cities around the world. And it's been growing and growing ever since. It's been a fantastic movement, just like we see in Acts. It's moving, it's vibrant, it's on the move now, happening. And that's what it's supposed to be. The kingdom of God will advance. Even Satan, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's never supposed to be a stagnant, stuck, once a week thing. We are on the move. And about that time for us, there was about 27,000 people meeting at a Bible week called Stoneleigh. And it was fantastic until Terry turned up one day and said, God said, we've got to stop this. And people said, Terry, you can't stop this. There's like 27,000 people coming. We earn, the offering is well over £1 million every time. What are we going to do? We won't have the money. And Terry said, God said, it's got to stop. And so it stopped. And then what happened and built out of that is that God blessed it. And instead of now being one family in the UK, we are now about seven families, I believe, and we're part of Catalyst. There is a family there. And so we continue to move. Seven families, full of grace and love and mercy and true friendship. This is what we're all about. And so we continue that mission. The gospel is advancing through us. That's why we're part of New Frontiers. We don't want to be stuck, and we're actually working into many unreached people groups around the world. And so just in Europe, if we look at Europe alone, we can see that we are involved with 24 out of the 44 nations. And one of them, Nathan and Rada, I know personally, they're out in Munich now. They went to Munich about 3 years ago and started to plant a church. And I'm telling you now, it really wasn't easy. Anyone who thinks planting church is easy hasn't got a clue what it's all about. Yeah, but they started to plant. And over time, it's now started to take root. And, we pray with Nathan on Friday mornings. And it's been great to see how God is starting to step in and grow that. And then there's Jonathan and Sarah in Athens, in Greece. We're working amongst the refugees there. Now, we still think it's a bit of a holiday, to be honest with you. Who wouldn't want to go and plant a church in Greece? But actually, they're having to learn the language, which is what they're doing there. They're learning the language. And they've just distributed 1,500 food parcels to families that are desperately in need of food there. And they're looking to make friends there. They're making friends so they can plant churches and word and spirit churches just like us. And then there's Turkey, Miklo in Turkey, who's been there for many years, that has planted churches. And there are many churches looking in to see his oversight. And he's now grown through many indigenous, that means people from that people group speak Turkish. And they are now leading the churches over there. Churches that are full of people from Syria, Iran and Iraq, and some of them are going back to plant in their own countries. So exciting, guys, that this is all going. This is who you are part of. This is who I'm part of. And so I just think it's an amazing story to be part of. And what about foundations for tomorrow? Well, we continue to advance the kingdom. There's nothing stopping us that. We will go and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers. Our actual mission statement is the Well Church, we exist to transform the people of London and beyond by showing them who God really is. He's not a stuffy religious God. He's a caring God. Everything you see in Jesus is what he is today. He cares about people, will heal people. He loves to do that. But guys, don't be put off by the size of the church. The size of the church is not important. I'm going to explain that. It's more about love and friendship and presence and effectiveness. How effective are we in sharing this gospel? As we look at one study in the States right now that has just been done, the cities, this study says, with the fastest growing church populations in America had the worst social statistics in the nation. So what that meant was, or means, is that the more people went to church, the worse the city got. Can you imagine that? The bigger the church, the worse the city. Why? because they become inward looking. It's all about the church and not about those outside. Now, I'm sure that, you know, people got grown in their churches and all that. But we're supposed to be the light of the world, not the light of the church. We're supposed to make a difference out there. So not size, it's effectiveness. How are we affecting the society that God has placed us in? How are we doing? There's that question. Well, I believe we're becoming more missional nowadays than ever. You know, we're growing spiritually at church. We're growing big people in God. That's the idea. You know, we give people a chance to mature and have a go at what God's called them to do. Preachers are rising up. Wasn't it fantastic to see Adam getting up for the first time last week, doing his bit with Sam and Colin as well? Fantastic. We're seeing worship groups rise up. A couple of years ago, last year, we just had one or two. That was it. Now we've got three or four. It's fantastic to see. And last year we had four groups, midweek groups. Now we have six where disciples are made, where leaders are rising up and causing me problems, because we're now having to make room and space for people to do what God has called them to do. They're being equipped to transform their homes, their families, their neighborhoods, and the city to the ends of the earth. And then in prayer, we had a prophetic word as the guys together. That was to help the five most in need families that in the school opposite us. Now, this is open to you. If you're connected to a school, go into there and ask them, are there, you know, say three families that need help? We are here to help them. People have been giving to this. And so there is money there to help over this Christmas period. We help them five families in the summer, and we're going back there at Christmas for two weeks to do the same thing again. And you know what? The fruit of it is a lady called Lorraine there, who I deal with, is now thinking about coming on Alpha at the end of January. We've got an Alpha course coming up, guys. So start thinking. We're on mission. We need to get people in there. It's part of what we do. And it was fantastic. She is so thankful, because she sees these families with nothing. All of a sudden, Christmas is going to look different for them, because some of you have given. Well done. And some, ask your schools, those that are in school, around school, is there, you know, a couple of families that we could help this Christmas? And then we also help Beverly Brooks, who used to be with us. She got moved up to Newcastle, and now she's part of an outfit called Junction 42. It's a charity up there that helps ex-prisoners get jobs. And she texted us the other day just to say thank you for what we give to her, that enables her to continue the mission up there in Newcastle. But we're part of that. And she's just helped four different people coming out of prison get jobs. What a fantastic work that is. And then we've got our very own Linda Ballack, who's faithfully out there helping people that are homeless, those in Hackney, and we're helping to equip them with that, with food stuff and whatever, and that's with Teen Challenge. So you don't have to start the work yourself. That's the thing, you don't have to. We can be part of what someone else is doing and just encourage you with that. And just like we are with CAP, it's a big organisation. But now Debbie is working. You know, a year ago, we weren't a CAP centre. Today, we're a CAP centre. God has done so much in this year that Debbie is now, with others, is helping to release people that are crushed by debt. They're, you know, it's no worse thing than thinking for the rest of your life you're going to be having to save all your money to pay interest and that. Well, Debbie is helping to sort that out. And lastly, I mean, there's more that I could say, but four or five years ago, again in a prayer meeting, look up, I think it's Acts 13, something, where the leaders got together and the Holy Spirit spoke. This is how we get led, guys. We listen to the Holy Spirit, and we got a vision. A vision for outposts from the church, whether it's this one or Trinity, we're in it with them. You know, it's a fantastic joint thing we've got going there. We love them dearly. But that we would have outposts. That's what we saw. And now for all this technological advancing with Zoom and that, we're now seeing an outpost start to grow in Basildon. You know, with Tony and Colin and Wendy and Ted and Fran who joins in now and again, you know, and there are more that I'm sure will. It's an outpost. And some of our leaders are going to go down there and we're going to be praying over the Basildon in the next few weeks. I can't wait for that because God is doing something. And I hope you get the feel for this, guys, that the book of Acts is Jesus on a mission with the miraculous, that it's a real move of God that is happening. Started then with 12, ended up today, I think it's about 2 or 3 billion people around the world believe, but there's still vast amounts. I believe about 95% of people in the UK right now still need to respond to the gospel. And we're there to carry the mission to them. I believe it's so exciting, guys. When you open your eyes and look to see what God is doing, and then go, you know what, I want to do what God is calling me to do. That's where the excitement is. And so whatever you do in life today, your job is your kingdom assignment. Your family is your kingdom assignment. Your friends are your kingdom assignment. The Spirit of God is on me. Isaiah said that. He saw it come upon Jesus, and now he's giving it to us, to you. And so wherever you go, we're to let people know about Jesus. Finished with this, Habakkuk 2:14 says that the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So Jesus, who we love and worship, came into the world on a mission. And he's still on that mission today by the power of his Spirit. He came to bless all nations of the earth, not just Israel, all nations, to unite all families in Christ, us in him, him in us, to fill every town and city and nation with the power and presence of him, his kingdom, and to bring the glory of God to every corner of this earth. And then he returns and he will make everything new. Guys, he's doing it through you. He's doing it through me. That's how this is going to get done. One person at a time, one little mission at a time. And so we're going to pray now. And Lord, I do pray, come in awesome power. If you don't know Jesus in your heart yet, Jesus is on a mission today to reach you, to come to you, to fill you right now. He would do that. Just pray, Lord, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. Thank you that you died on a cross. I want to live for you. I want to give my life to you. Come and live in my heart. If you pray that simple prayer, God will come and live in your heart by faith. Come on, praise the Lord. But if you have already given your life to Jesus and you're not following him, you've realized that you're on another mission. A mission that will add up to nothing for eternity. And you want God to touch you today. I believe that God is doing a recommissioning today, bringing life to your heart, igniting gifts that have been dormant inside. And God is asking us to step out, as Angela Ball earlier on, give words of knowledge, pray for people, share the gospel. And ask them to come to the carol service. I'm sure we'll be back at the View then. Come to the nativity play, especially if they're non-Christian. That one's shaped just for that. It's going to be fun. Invite people to the Alpha, but you need to go on mission. So my question to you is, what mission are you on? And are you going to start a mission today that we'll end up with someone coming to know our Lord and Saviour? It won't happen if we don't do it. But I know that Lord is going to bless people. So let's just raise our hands. Raise our hands. Let's just receive from God. Lord, we yield to you afresh. And we say, God, will you come in awesome power? Lord, will you move upon us? Lord, would you ignite us by the power of your Holy Spirit? Help us to see who we can come alongside, have a meal with, invite round, however it works. Get us on mission, Lord. Let every day of our life be one where we're thinking, what are you going to do next, Jesus? What are you going to do next? That's the way we should be, guys. That's the way it should be. Spirit of God, come. Spirit of God, come. Spirit of God, come. Yeah, I just see there, Adrian, that the Lord is on you and he wants to release you. It's time to soar like an eagle, Adrian. It's time to soar like an eagle. If you look back over the last days, the last days, all right, it's repairing, it's building, it's doing stuff, but it's time to soar like an eagle. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. I don't know if anyone else has got any prophetic words. There's only a few faces up this morning. If you have, come in. But Delvina, you as well, it's time to spread your wings. It's time to step out. It's time to, people want to hear your voice. There's an authority with your voice that God is strengthening and empowering. And I'm not just talking about singing like an angel, which you did last week with Esther. It's fantastic. It's your prayers that count. It's your voice where you share the love of God. He's saying, spread your wings. Spread your wings. Ted, I believe the Lord is saying to you, I didn't put you in that new place for no reason. I want you to rub shoulders with those that don't know me. Show them who I truly am. Step out in faith, Ted. This is your day. Don't think to yourself, well, my life's nearly over, I'll leave it to the rest. You know what? R.T. Kendall always spoke about a guy who didn't come to faith until he was late 60s, 70s and that. And he led more people to Christ than 95% of the people that R.T. knew. It's not too late. Have fun with it, Ted. Have fun with it. Oh, God, come in power. Come in power. And Linda Ballack, is just an anointing coming on you of wisdom. That with what you're doing, God wants to give wisdom so that it all works well. Wisdom on who to ask to come in, who not to ask to come in, when to go out. Just the wisdom of God coming on you, Linda. So pleased that you're stepping out in that kind of way. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.